we're going to be going to Romans 6. Romans 6 tonight. For just a short time as we prepare for the baptisms tonight. And what we are going to be witnessing tonight, these baptisms, is full of symbolism. It is just rich with symbolism. And we're going to be talking about that symbolism tonight. Baptism symbolism. And you think about what is symbolism. And it's using symbolism is basically just using a symbol to represent something. And when I think of a symbol, I think of our flag. You know, our flag represents something. As you look at our flag, you see the stars, which symbolize the 50 states. And the stars symbolize a divine goal. As I read it, the 13 stripes are symbolizing the 13 original colonies that declared independence. And those stripes are symbolizing of the rays of light from the sun. So when we look at our flag, it represents freedom. It represents our country. It represents the freedom that we have. These 50 states that we are in, the 13 original colonies. But it's not our freedom. It represents it. It's a symbol of it. If you were to remove our American flag from our church this evening and every other flag that we have here in our church would not be any less free than it is right now. It would still be free. Now, we love to have the flag here because it does represent our freedom. If you were to go throughout all of Fairmont and remove every single flag from every home and every area, you would not be affecting our freedom. Sure, you know, it wouldn't be nice to be without our flag. It's great to have our flag, and it's a great representation. But it's not our freedom. It represents it. It is something that is there and represents it. And we all understand that when we see it, this represents our freedom. This represents our country. And when we think about baptism, baptism is the same thing. It's symbolic. It's a symbol. It's a step of obedience. Is one of the things. It's a step of obedience. Christ commanded that at the end of Matthew 28, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. But it's a step of obedience. It's you saying, "All right, I recognize this as a step." But it also symbolizes things, and we find this symbolism in Romans 6. First of all, we have to understand what water baptism is not, what it isn't. And as far as in our church, as being a Baptist church, we're all confident in this, but water baptism does not have any effect on our salvation, on our justification. It is not, as we look here in Romans 6, it says here, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." So as we think of baptism, and it's talking about baptism here, what is it talking about here? Well, as we see here, this is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about something else. When we receive believer's baptism, we are not being baptized into Jesus Christ. When I was baptized a number of years ago, I was not baptized into Jesus Christ. I was baptized into water. Okay? I took the people up here before just to let them feel the water, make sure it wasn't freezing. Thankfully, our water heater works in the baptismal, because when I was filling it up and had to stand in there for a little while and have my hand in there, I tell you, it would not, I think all five of you would have said, "No, thank you, we'll be baptized some other time. Let's wait till it's summertime, we'll go down to the lake." It was cold. And thankfully that heater worked. It's great, it's nice and warm. But this is water. It's H2O. It's tap water. There's nothing special about the water. It is just water. I did not say any type of special incantation over it. I did not say, "You are now holy water." This is tap water. That is all it is. It'll go down the drain after we're done. You know, that's all it is. It's water. We are baptizing into water. That's it. It is a symbol. Romans 6:3 here, when it talks about, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death," this is not referring to water baptism. It's referring to the baptism that we receive at the exact moment of our salvation. When we talk about spirit baptism, it's not, some people would even separate our spirit baptism from our salvation, saying, okay, now you're saved, now you got to wait until you're spirit baptized when the Spirit comes upon you. That's not true. When we are saved, when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are instantly, at that moment, baptized into Jesus Christ. Spiritually, that is what is spiritually being talked about. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12 talks about this. Galatians 3:26. These are all talking about spirit baptism that happens at the point of salvation when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So when we talk about water baptism, it basically symbolizes two things. It's a step of obedience, yes, but it symbolizes two things. One, the death and burial of Jesus Christ. When we go down into the water, there is the death, there is the burial. That's why we go under the water. And then as you come up, there is the symbolism of the resurrection, the life of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to be looking at it a little more specifically than this. But in the basis form, the basic form of it, this is exactly what water baptism is symbolizing. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as I've been teaching this to my son over the months and years, I've tried to shorten it. Just say, baptism symbolizes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if you know my son, he can't say anything without saying a lot of words. He's got to say a lot of words. So when I say, what does water baptism symbolize? He just goes into this long diatribe. Well, Jesus died, was on the cross, and then he went through crucifixion. He died on the cross, and then they took him down, and it goes into this long description of what happened about Jesus Christ dying and being buried and raising again after 3 days. And I said, well, okay, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah. And but it's easy to see where the symbolism comes from. Because here you have, you're standing outside of the water, then, or in the water, above it, and then all of a sudden you're under it, and then all of a sudden you're back up. Very easy to see that symbolism of going down and coming back up. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we as Baptists, we don't recognize pouring or sprinkling as baptism. Well, one reason I'll tell you, the actual word baptism, baptizo, the Greek word, it means to immerse. It means to go all the way under. It means to be inside the water. So as we look at it, I say, there's one reason. But when you look at the real symbolism that baptism is showing us, of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I think of pouring or sprinkling, I don't see any of that symbolism there. You know, unless you can show me someone being baptized by pouring a little dirt on his head or flicking some dirt at his face, that's not how people are buried. They are buried by being put in the ground and being covered completely by the dirt and being completely enveloped. Jesus Christ, when he was buried, went completely into the tomb. The tomb was covered up. It was completely inside. In the same way as we think about baptism, that's why we do immersion. So within these two basic points of symbolism, the death and the burial, the resurrection and the life, I think we can see three things, three points, if you want to say, of symbolism that we can be blessed by. Verse number 4, look at this. We see the gospel. Look here. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This emphasizes our redemption. As we see baptism, we can see exactly what Jesus went through when he died on the cross. And what went on at that time. He died, he was buried, he rose again. Let's turn just, leave your finger here in Romans 6, but turn to 1 Corinthians 15 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we find here great teaching on what the gospel really is. It says, moreover, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel right there. The death,
the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we think of baptism, how it symbolizes the gospel, it is the gospel encapsulated in just a little moment here. And when someone experiences baptism, and we who have been baptized see a baptism, it is a mighty thing to think about when we contemplate exactly what he went through, how he died, how he was buried, and how he rose again. This is a wonderful opportunity as Christians to reflect. You know, there's a lot of times in church services that we can have times to reflect when we're singing. And we sing a certain song about the gospel and about Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful time. When we have the Lord's Supper and we partake of that and we think of the bread symbolizing, once again, it's a symbol, symbolizing the body. The grape juice symbolizing the blood. It isn't actually the body. It's not actually the blood. It is just a symbol. It's there to remind us. And here, once again, baptism, an ordinance of God that is meant to be a symbol. It was never meant to save us. It was never meant to get us to heaven. It was only here to be a step of obedience and to symbolize what happened. So the gospel is a symbolism there. And then as we go through this tonight, we won't be too long here tonight, but as we go through this, you'll see that a lot of this repeating or going over kind of the same thing that we went over this morning when we were talking about the resurrection this morning. And that's okay. We can go over the same thing when we're talking about baptism. It's a wonderful day to go through a baptism here on this Resurrection Sunday. And as I have read more seasoned pastors than me, and they have given advice. Many of them have said, don't worry about saying the same things over and over again. It reinforces the point. It helps to help us really understand it. And so our baptism, it symbolizes the gospel. Secondly, our baptism symbolizes our future resurrection. Look here in verse number 5 of going back to Romans chapter 6. Going back to Romans chapter 6. In verse 5 it says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." And this emphasizes the hope that we can have in this life. The fact that as, you know, we've had some fun kidding with the people going through the baptism, saying, "All right, I'll take you down, and then I might hold you under there for a little while, and then, you know, let you struggle a little bit, then I'll bring you back up." Obviously, that's not going to happen, but it's a little fun, you know. But that's the great thing about the resurrection when we think about Resurrection Sunday. If we had baptism without resurrection, we'd have a lot of drowned people because they'd just be left under there. It'd be, "All right, this is as far as we can go. There's no resurrection." But there is resurrection. Jesus Christ did arise. He did rise from the dead after 3 days. He is at the right hand of his Father. He is a living Savior. And therefore, as we have faith in him, as we trust in him, we know, we have hope that there is a future resurrection. And as we look at baptism, we don't leave them down there. We pick them back up because there is a resurrection. Because we know that we too will be resurrected from the dead. Except for those, as we talked about this morning, except for those that are living in the time of the rapture, we will all have to experience physical death. It is going to happen. And that is not something to exactly be looked forward to, but it's not something that is to be feared for a Christian because of that last part of our baptism, because of that resurrection. And you've heard me say it many times, and I'm sure you've heard it from this pulpit before, our hope is not a hope that we hope for, that something we don't know is going to happen. Our hope is something that we know is going to happen, and therefore we have hope. And so as we look at baptism, we find that it symbolizes the gospel. It symbolizes our future resurrection. And then finally in verse 6, it symbolizes new life. Look in verse number 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And this emphasizes a sanctified life
that we can now lead. It symbolizes a victorious life. The fact that you have been raised out of the water. As a good symbolism would be, as you see them walk into the water, they're going to look one way. As you see them go down and come back up, they're going to look different. They're going to be, obviously in here, they're just going to be wet. But they're going to be different. They're going to have to go get changed. They're going to have to go prepare themselves to come back up because they are different. And in kind of the same way, when we are saved, when we trust in Christ as our Savior, we're different. We don't go down. If I dunked them and brought them back up and they looked the same, you'd say, what did they cover themselves with, Teflon or something? How is that water not sticking to them? How do they not look different? Every time they look different. They're wiping water from their face. Their hair is wet. They're different. In the same way, we should be different. When we are after salvation, we should look completely different. We should act completely different. We died to sin. We rise again to this righteousness. We are new people. Our new life is not characterized by sin. And so our baptism, water baptism, symbolizes that. And it's a declaration to all those that see. They're here to tell you. These people that are being baptized tonight, they're here to tell you, this is what's happened inside of me. This is my faith. I have trusted in Christ. I have partaken in this death, this burial, and this resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is true in me. You're saying that you have experienced inwardly what you are now showing outwardly. But as you think about it, without justification, without that salvation first, baptism would be nothing. It would just be getting wet. That's it. The things that it symbolizes would only be things that would condemn you. You have not partaken in the gospel, and therefore you are not on your way to heaven. You don't have a hope of a future resurrection, and you don't have a new life. You haven't risen to this new life. So baptism would just be taking a short bath. And maybe there are some out there this evening that have never taken that step of salvation. Maybe you have never been baptized into Jesus Christ. Maybe you have been baptized in the water because you made a profession that was not real. That water baptism is not going to help you. Maybe it made you a member of a church, but that didn't make you a member of Jesus Christ. And now that you understand that water baptism is nothing more than a symbol and a step of obedience, but it's nothing that is going to affect your salvation. These people are not going to be anywhere closer to heaven after their baptism than they were before. If they weren't saved before, they're not going to be saved after this. It is just that symbol of what has happened inside. We need to take that step. Trust in Jesus Christ, experience that spiritual baptism, and become a member of the body of Christ. But maybe you have trusted in Christ, but you haven't felt the need to go through with water baptism. Well, you're not following the example of Christ, but you're cheating yourself out of being a part of an ordinance that has such great symbolism. And this is a basic step of obedience. And once we take that step, God can lead you to take other steps. I know you've heard my testimony. As I look at, I had ear problems for my life, and so I always put off my baptism. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to get my head underwater. It would hurt. And so I put it off and put it off and put it off, and finally, I was baptized when I was after my first semester in college. And immediately after that, went back for my second semester, and the Lord called me into the full-time Christian service, called me in to be a preacher. And I tie it directly to my baptism. And so as you go through your baptism tonight, be ready for the Lord to work in your life after this, that He will give you other steps to be obedient in and other ways that you can follow Him. So knowing these things can give us a way to witness to people. It can give us a way to, you can change a conversation about baptism, about a conversation about the gospel. And once you know what it symbolizes, what it stands for. So as we view this tonight, as we go through this tonight, don't lose the picture here of what is being painted by this water baptism. It's a beautiful picture that God has ordained us to go through and has painted it beautifully. And we are to follow in that way and to follow obediently into that believer's baptism. Let's bow in prayer as we are closed.